Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend Scott Otto back on the show. Scott is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. In fact, we need to celebrate his fourth anniversary today. It's just a little bit behind us, but he's become a great resource, a great cyber expert resource for us over the years, and he just keeps getting smarter. He's got a brand new credential, the highest credential in the galaxy for what he does, and he is the security advocate and the VP of Soho Solutions and an attorney by education. I think he's a recovering attorney, but he spends most of his time helping people make sure that they don't get themselves into trouble in cyberspace. He's our good friend Scott Arno. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. So the Fourth Amendment, folks, we're going to talk about. I'll get Scott to talk to us about the Fourth Amendment. Scott, prior to the U.S. Constitution, there was the English, the common law, thanks to Henry II and the Magna Carta and the English Bill of Rights of 1668, I think it was. There was a quote that even the most pitiful hovel of a common man, the rain may go through it, the wind may blow through it, but all the king's soldiers cannot cross the threshold without permission by the man. I'm paraphrasing what this was. This is a 400-year-old quote there. And that gave rise to the Fourth Amendment, didn't it?
It did.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the Fourth Amendment, in effect, guards you against unreasonable search and seizure. And, of course, in the modern world, that has taken a lot of interesting different variants as different things apply to it. I mean, certainly back in the day, coming into your hut or house or castle, that's what it applied to. Now it's moved on to your devices.
Mm-hmm.
So one case we saw recently just came out of Chicago, in which police were looking for a suspect in a child pornography case. And they tried to get a warrant which would allow them to basically get into every Apple device. I don't know why they just picked Apple and not Apple and Android. Huh. But every Apple device which had a fingerprint unlock, which basically means if you had an iPhone. Yeah, I see.
Who was wanting this?
This was basically a local police in Chicago.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Now, certainly they had probable cause to try and do a search to try and find what was going on related to the child pornography case.
Right.
And of course, it's an extreme version. None of us is in favor of that, of course. However, the idea here was that they wanted to go around a building and basically force fingerprint everyone to open up their phones.
Wow.
Now, the argument against that was both Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment is, of course, the right against self-incrimination.
Right.
And that's always been a really interesting thing as it relates to these sorts of cases, because let's say someone wants you to open your phone, law enforcement, customs, whatever. If they want you to do it as a Fifth Amendment thing, there's been a differentiation there between whether you have a PIN code or password, which is something you know, versus your fingerprint, which is something you are.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea there is like, well, your fingerprint can't be testimony. So the court really ruled here.
Really?
And I know that sounds nuts.
A fingerprint doesn't apply to the Fifth Amendment?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the cases that are looked at here are basically like fingerprinting cases for, okay, we're looking for whose fingerprints are on the murder weapon kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a different thing now. Basically, we're moving into uncharted territory.
This fingerprint gives you access to information that should be protected by the Fourth Amendment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I see the image here is very, very crystal clear, isn't it? But, of course, the government argument is going to be, well, they want to have more information to be able to make a case.
So what are we running into now? Where's the pain here?
Well, the issue becomes if they can effectively force you to give up your fingerprints, they're not just checking to see if your hand's on a murder weapon now.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting into everything on your phone, mm-hmm. which, as we know, can be quite a lot of information, not just about you, but about innocent third parties. I mean, look, it's not my place to tell people what they should or shouldn't have on their phones, but do you like the idea that the police can just get to any of it?
And well, exactly. And if they do, don't they have to say specifically what they're looking for? Because if they get there and they find that you're not a perv, but you did have plans to rob a bank, can they use that?
Well, theoretically, if they have a right to be on the phone and they're finding it not doing anything outside of that warrant, they could use that in theory.
Isn't that called forbidden fruit or tainted fruit or something like that? I forgot the term they use.
Well, that would called fruit of the forbidden tree would be the
there
idea that they're looking at something they can't look at.
Yeah.
Now,
hold on to that thought, Scott. We're going to come back, folks, and talk about this a little bit more. This is where we're getting into some really... This is a world... The implications of all this digital stuff, folks, we haven't even scratched the surface of how it's affecting our lives. 20 Tail, right back with Scott.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.